baptized in this baptistry. Brother Herb Goodrow led me to the Lord. And it's where I first broke into youth ministry. And God has blessed me through the years. And Lena Vista always holds a dear place in mine and my wife's heart. And thank y'all for allowing me to come today. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to be in chapter 6 and 7 this morning in various different verses. I'm going to start off reading verse 3 in chapter 6. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Go down to verse 5 through 9. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts of his hearts were only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God." Jump over to verse 13 through 16. "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in it and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks." Now go over to chapter 7, verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Verse 4 and 5. "After 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him to do." Go over to verse 7 through 9. "So Noah with his sons, with his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two they went into Noah, to the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah." Now go down to verse 15 and 16. "And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity you have given me. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, you do something through me this morning I can't do myself. Father, I pray you do the preaching. Lord, just allow me to be your chosen vessel today. And Lord, my prayer is always, if there's someone here that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, Father, today will be the day they accept you. Father, we love you. And we praise you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." And you know, I just believe God put that in his word for a specific reason. Because there's no day better than today. There's no time better than now to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the fact of the matter is, because you know what? We're not guaranteed of tomorrow, are we? We're not even guaranteed of this afternoon. I heard a story one time of a man that went to the doctor. And when he got home, his wife said, "Well, what did the doctor have to say?" And he said, "Well, the doctor gave me a bad report today." She said, what did he say? He said, "Well, I got to take one pill a day, every day, for the rest of my life." And his wife looked at him and said, "You know what? That's not such a bad report. A lot of people take one pill a day, every day, for the rest of their life." But then he looked at his wife. He said, "But yeah, but the doc only gave me 3 pills." Now listen, that old boy knew when his day was coming, didn't he? But see, you and I, we don't know when our last day on this earth will be, do we? Let me ask you a question. What if this was the last church service you ever sat in and heard the Word of God proclaimed? Let's take that a step further. What if this is the last invitation the Lord ever extended to you, and then the Lord shut the door? Guess what? That's the way it was in the day of Noah. You see, God spoke to Noah, and he said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth and everything that lives within it because of the people's sinfulness, evil, and wicked ways. And you know what? When I read that scripture, I thought, Lord, that sounds like America. Can I just share something with y'all? Share my heart if I can get through it without breaking up. A few months ago, the state of New York, the governor come on national TV. Y'all seen it. Where he said, you know what? Abortion is going to be allowed in New York up until the 9th month of pregnancy. That shook me up. And you know, when one does something, someone else is going to follow, right? And then this lady from Virginia, she's on the news, and she's presenting a bill that Virginia's going to follow, and they're going to allow abortion up to the 9th month. And this guy's questioning her, says, well, how far into the 9th month do you want the abortion to be allowed? And she kind of hum-hawed around and wouldn't say, and he just point-blank asked her, he says, are you saying that it should be allowed all the way up to dilation? And the lady says, yes. I don't know about y'all, but that hits me hard. And I think to myself, Lord, if you destroyed the earth one time before because of the wickedness of the people, what is holding you back right now from destroying our world? What's holding the Heavenly Father back from saying, Jesus, go rescue your church. Go rapture your church. But listen, we live in a sinful time, and listen, I know people don't like to hear about sin because guess what? It reminds all of us we're sinners. Amen? And I know people don't like to hear about death because it reminds all of us that we have an appointment one day unless the rapture comes first. And you know what? I know people don't like to hear about judgment because you know what? That lets us know we're held accountable. We're held accountable for our actions, for whatever we do. And you know what else? I know people don't hear that one day the Lord's going to shut the door, but guess what? One day the Lord's going to shut the door. One day you're going to have the last opportunity you'll ever have to say yes or no to Jesus Christ. I truly believe that. Go back to your Bibles. Look in chapter 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit, and y'all get this, the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. 120 years. God was saying, Noah, these folks have got 120 years to get it right. They got 120 years to change their sinful, evil, and wicked ways. Now, we think about 120 years. That's a long time, amen? I think I seen just, what, last month, Miss Haney had 101st birthday, something like that. I can't imagine living to be 101 years old. But 120 years is a long time. And God said, Noah, these guys have got 120 years to get it right. You know what I think Noah done? I thought, oh, Noah started getting some sermons ready. Because God had shared this with him. Noah was a preacher. Noah preached. And he preached to these people for 120 years. Unfortunately, they didn't change. 120 years seems like a long time. But guess what? Just like that 120 years was a long time then, it's a long time now. But that 120 years eventually ran out. They ran out of time. But you know what? I love the account of Noah in the Bible. It's one we all learned when we was kids when we went to vacation Bible school and Sunday school, right? But listen, this is what God said to Noah. He said, Noah, I want you to build me a boat. Not just any boat, but a big one. And Noah, this is how I need you to build it. It needs to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. And Noah's supposed to have three decks, three levels. Okay? It's got rooms in it. But Noah, it only needs to have one door. Y'all remember that? Only one door. I got to thinking about that. Noah had no sophisticated equipment like we got today. He had no engineering department with some engineer sitting behind an iMac computer, sketching it all out, drafting it all out, telling him all the little details of how to build it. Although Noah did have a designer, it was the Heavenly Father. And he told him exactly how long, how wide, and how high to build the ark. Now, I want you to understand something. Noah did something on blind faith. Okay? Here God told him to build this huge, huge ark. And guess what? He didn't have an ocean to float it in. He didn't have a lake to put it in. It was built on dry land. So he did something beyond his faith, beyond his sight. He was blind faith. But this is what God told him. And this is what I love. Because I'm thinking, if I'm Noah, how would I respond to this? You see, God said, Noah, you supply the wood and I'll supply the water. Noah, you provide the labor and I'll provide the liquid. Noah, you fill it and I'm going to float it. And guess what? One day, the final board was laid in place. One day, the final nail was driven. One day, the final pail of pitch was painted on the inside and the outside of the ark. One day, all the animals was loaded on to the ark. And you know what happened after that? The Bible says that the Lord shut the door. And when the Lord shut the door, no one else could come on board and be saved from the flood. Listen, I didn't come to be depressing today, but I come to tell you some good news. Excuse me. Because you know what? I believe before God will bring death and destruction, I believe God will make some provisions for you and I. Don't y'all? Go to your Bibles to chapter 7, verse 1. Let's see what the provisions are. Verse 1 says, Then the Lord said to Noah, Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before men in this generation. Now the first thing he gave Noah was a word of invitation. Y'all get that? Look at that verse. Somebody tell me what the seventh word in that verse is. Come. God said, Noah, I want you to come. Come on board. I want you to come on the ark and be saved from this destruction, from this flood. It was an individual invitation. It was a one-on-one invitation from God to Noah. The same way God speaks to us and gives us an invitation. Amen? Have you guys ever filled out one of those, or you do it on a computer now, Publishers Clearinghouse Sweepstakes? Me too, Sonia. What used to be $5,000 a week for life, now it's $7,000 a week for life. Wouldn't that be nice to get that? I tell Uncle Sam he could keep that Social Security check. Put that toward building a wall. But listen to this. I'm kind of a simple guy, and I think about things probably differently than some folks do. But I was thinking the other day about this Publishers Clearinghouse Sweepstakes. It's a big deal. Someone's going to win $7,000 a year for life, or $7,000 a week for life. But just imagine if we all fill this thing out, and it's the big day. They're going to announce the winner, and it's going to be, it's a big deal. It's going to be on national TV. It's going to be like the Super Bowl. And I've registered, and I'm kicked back in my recliner, and I've got my TV set on, and I'm watching this thing, and I'm anticipating just like everybody else. And then all of a sudden, on TV, I see this neighborhood. And I look, and I think, that's my neighborhood. And I begin to get a little excited. And then I think, I see this van stop, and they get out with this big old check. And I see, that's my house on national TV. They're coming down my driveway. And I'm getting real excited. I'm not reclining back in my lazy boy no more. I'm up running around the living room. And I'm thinking, man, I have struck it rich. I'm about to receive the greatest gift anyone could ever give me. And then I stop and think, you know what? When they knock on that door, I don't believe I'm going to answer. I don't want anybody to know I got any needs. I don't want anybody to know where I live. I just don't think I want to answer the knock on that door. Betty said, I will. But listen, You might say, Barry, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Can I tell you what the most ridiculous thing is I've ever heard in my life? When the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords stands and knocks on our heart's door, and we say, Jesus, not today. Jesus, maybe next week, or maybe next month, or maybe next year. We're rolling the dice, aren't we? Because we're not guaranteed of tomorrow. Let's go back to this verse 1, the second part of this verse. See, it was not only an individual invitation, but it was an inclusive invitation. He said, I want you and your family to be saved. I want y'all to get on the ark to be saved from the flood. Now, ladies, y'all just listen just a minute. I'm talking to the men right now, okay? I say this at our church every time I get a chance to say this at our church. So, men, listen up. I'm talking to you. God has chosen you and me to be the spiritual leader of our home. That's our job. We're to be a provider and a protector for our family. But you see, the reason God included his family, his boys, to be saved was that Noah was a godly man. And those boys grew up watching their father being a godly father, a godly husband. So let me tell you guys, and I'm talking to myself, we need to be a godly husband. We need to be a godly father. We need to be a godly grandfather. I heard something the other day. A man and his little boy was hiking through the woods. And the man turned around and looked at his little boy and said, son, be careful where you step. And the little boy looked back at his dad. He said, now, Dad, you be careful where you step, because I'm following your footsteps. Guys, we got this huge responsibility for our families. Noah's boys were saved because their father was a godly man, and he showed that. And because of that, they followed his godly ways. Go back to chapter 6 just a minute. We're going to look at two verses there real quick. Verse 8 and 9. And I love this verse. Matter of fact, there's a song called this. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. I love it said that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Y'all know what grace is. It's unmerited favor with God. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve grace, but because he loves us, he gives us that grace. I don't deserve the grace the Lord has shown me, but I thank God that he has shown me grace. It also says that Noah was a just man, and he walked with God. It went on to say he was perfect in his generation. Now, guess what? He was the cream of the crop of his time. He wasn't perfect like Jesus was perfect. Jesus was the only perfect man ever walked the face of this earth. Amen? Y'all agree with that? But he was the best of his time. You see, Noah, guys, was just like us. He had issues in his life. He had sin in his life. But he was righteous. He walked in God's ways. And because of that, he was rewarded, him and his family. So guys, listen to me. Men, walk in God's ways. You got people watching you and your family that look up to you. Let them see the Heavenly Father through your life. Go to Genesis chapter 7, verse 5. And I love this verse, and this is hard for us to do. It says, and Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him. It's hard to do everything the Lord commands us to do, isn't it? But the Bible says Noah did everything the Lord commanded him to do. Now listen, I want y'all to get this. You see, Noah had to get on the ark to be saved from the flood. Okay? The ark was to Noah is to what Jesus Christ is to you and I. You see, for us to be saved, we've got to get on board with Jesus. We've got to ask Jesus to come in our heart. When he knocks on that heart's door, we got to open that door and say, come on in, Lord. Ask him to be the Lord of our life. And this is what I found out in my Christian walk. It gets tough sometimes in that Christian walk, amen? But can I tell you something? the world can't offer me nothing any better than what Jesus has offered me. So that's a ride I never want to get off of. I want to stay on that ride with Jesus. Now, I want y'all to get this. Noah really got saved on credit. Okay? You see, there was 4,000 years from the flood to the cross. Noah got saved based on what God was going to do through Jesus Christ. You and I are saved based on what God did when he sent Jesus Christ. When Jesus hung on that cross, guess what he did? He hung on that cross for every one of us in this room. Not just a select few, but everyone in this room and in this world, he died on the cross for us. Right, go back to verse 4. For after 7 more days I will cause it to rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. Did you know this is the only time in God's word when he is specific about the day destruction is coming? No other place in the Bible will you find that. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us not even the angels in heaven know when Jesus is coming back. Amen? No one knows. It's a surprise. But here God says, Noah, buddy, you got 7 days and it's over. Can you imagine? Man, you know, Noah's been building the ship, and all the studying I found that the experts say it took Noah somewhere between 55 and 75 years to build this ark. So from the time God revealed this to Noah, it was 120 years. And in that 120 years, he's working on this ark. He's preaching and telling people about what's coming ahead. But now it's crunch time, buddy. You've had a deadline, and that deadline's getting closer and closer and closer. You get kind of nervous and anxious, and, I got to get this done. Okay? But listen, this is what I believe. Noah preached hard for 119 years and 51 weeks. But Paul, I think that last week, brother, he let the hammer down. I believe that last week Noah preached, he preached harder than he had ever preached before, because he knew in 7 days the flood was coming, and those people had not responded thus far to his message. I believe, I don't know, maybe some of those titles, those sermons may have turn or burn, get right or get left, learn to tread water or drown. I don't know what he called them. Maybe he didn't call them nothing. We kind of put names on our sermons anymore. But Noah knew that the time was running out. 7 days. We don't have know when our time is running out, do we? I'm going to tell you a true story. I was youth pastor at First Baptist Janfield in Winter Haven, one of the greatest youth groups God ever allowed me to be associated with. Those kids were so special. I mean, they were there Sunday night, they were there Sunday morning, they were there Wednesday night. I mean, they loved one another. If we didn't have a youth function going on Friday or Saturday night, guess what? A bunch of them was getting together and they was hanging out because they loved one another. They were very special kids. There was one young man that was in that group. His name was Richard. Very special. My family and I loved Richard and his family very much. I grew up with his stepdad from the time we were little kids. Richard, he was like all of us. He had this great side about him. He had a side that just get on your nerves. Richard had a short fuse. On Wednesday nights after youth Bible study, we'd go out behind the church and we had a basketball court back there, and sometimes we'd play basketball or football. And if we played football, since I was the old guy of the bunch, they allowed me to quarterback for both teams. Okay? And there was no hitting the quarterback, okay? No hitting the quarterback. But sometimes Richard's temper would get the best of him. And I'd say, Richard, son, get over there on that sideline so you can calm down. And he would walk off over there and he'd just be mumbling something, you know. I don't know what he was saying, but I know he wasn't happy. And he'd get over and he'd sit on that sidelines, and we'd play for about another 4 or 5 minutes. And I'd look over at him and he had this big old infectious smile. And he would smile real big at me. I say, son, you think you can behave? If you can, you can come on back and get back in the game. Yes, sir, Mr. Berry. And he'd jump up and he'd come right back in and he'd play like nothing ever happened. Had a good time. After Richard's junior year in high school, we went back to Power Life Youth Camp in Tennessee. That summer, Richard did something very different. That summer, in one of the night services, the Lord was knocking on Richard's heart's door. And at the invitation, Richard went down to the altar, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Man, we were excited. We were excited. We come back home, and Richard went to his senior year of high school. He graduated. He started work at Publix Warehouse in Lakeland. Still lived at home, 19 years old. Richard was a big old strapping kid working at Lakeland, Publix Warehouse in Lakeland. And one night he had dinner with his family, and him and his little brother played video games. He said, well, I got to go to bed. He says, I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning. And he told his family he loved them and gave them a hug, and he went to bed. And 4:30 the next morning, his alarm clock was going off. And it continued to go off. And his mom got up to go wake him up. And when she got in there and she turned the light on, she found out Richard had passed away during the night. 19 years old. That previous summer at Power Life Youth Camp, Richard probably thought, I got many years ahead of me. He had more than 7 days, which the Bible's talking about right here for this situation. But he only had a little more than a year. Soon after his mom found him, she called the house. And the phone was on Betty's side of the bed, and she answered the phone, and all I could hear his mom scream was, Richard. And when she finally got calmed down, she could say what happened. We jumped up, got ready, and we took off over there. And I sat there in that living room, and I'm thinking, Lord, why such a young man? We ask God those things sometimes, don't we? Because it's his will, not ours. But then I got to thinking, thank you, Lord, for last summer. Thank you for him answering that call, that knock on his heart's door, when Jesus extended another invitation to him. Let's look at verse 7 through 9. So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of the clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and everything that creeps on the earth, two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded. Have you guys remember hearing this Bible story when you were a kid? And one of the things I always used to think about was, man, how long did it take them to round up all them animals to put on that boat? You ever thought about that? If you look up here at verse 20 in chapter 6, they didn't have to, because this is what it says. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. I thought that was pretty cool. God said, you know what? You don't have to worry about rounding those guys up. You're going to open up that door one day, and they're going to be lined up coming to you. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, the ark's only got one door. So I can see them all lined up at the door. And the same door that this majestic eagle, I love seeing eagles. Y'all love seeing eagles? Aren't they a beautiful bird? It's powerful. And man, I just think about, man, that is an awesome bird for our national bird. The same majestic eagle that swooped through that door is the same door that this slow little turtle crawled through. The same door that this tall giraffe come through is the same door the little bitty puppy dog went through. The same door that this mighty lion went through is the same door that those snakes slithered through. Guess what? I know God knows what he's doing, but he could have let them snakes off that boat. Amen? He could have let them off. But this is what I want you to understand. There's only one door. There's only one door for salvation. It's not a Baptist door. It's not a Pentecostal door. It's not a Methodist door. It's not a Lutheran door. It's not a Catholic door. It's the door of Jesus Christ. If you're going to be saved, you got to come through the same door every one of us has already accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's no other way. Let me ask you this question. Are you washed in the blood? Because there's no other way to get into heaven except to be washed in the blood. Last two verses and I'm done. Look at 15 and 16. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. The Bible says the Lord shut him in. I want you to think about something just a minute. It's the day before the flood. Noah's been preaching hard. He's got all the animals loaded up. He's been preaching hard about what's going to happen. It's going to happen tomorrow. He has a sense of urgency. He's preaching hard, and these people are out there and laughing at him and calling him, you know, crazy crackpot. You've been preaching this thing all these years. It's dry ground. Once you got this big old ship built on dry land. And the last two guys, just picture these last two guys, they're walking away. They're headed home. And Noah's still preaching to them. And they turn around and look at him and say, man, that old guy, he's a kook. He's crazy. And they go on home. And one of the guys, when he gets home, his wife says, where you been? You should have done been homework. He said, well, I stopped by and heard old Noah preach one more time. He said, you know, that old man's crazy. She says, I know he's crazy. She says, I'll have dinner ready in a minute. So she gets dinner ready, and they sit down to eat, and she notices he's not eating. He's just kind of playing around with the food in his plate. She says, ain't you hungry? You okay? He said, well, no. So, you know, it's just something different about old Noah this week. Man, he preached harder than he ever preached. I don't know what it was, what it was about him, but, man, it was just different. And she said, man, go on and eat your food. That old cook's been preaching that for 120 years, and it ain't come no flood yet. So he eats, and they're getting ready to go to bed later on. And as they're making their way to the bedroom, they hear something they've never heard before. And they look out the window, and they hear this rumbling in the sky, this rumbling from heaven. Now, what is that noise? We've never heard nothing like that before. And then in just a few minutes, lightning bolts start lighting up the sky. And they run and look out the window. What in the world is this? What is going on? And they have a rough night. They're tossing and turning and not sleeping well. And the next morning, after they finally drift off to sleep, the next morning they wake up and they hear this other strange noise, and they get up and they look out the window and it's raining. Water's falling from the sky. They've never seen that before. Up until that point in time, it had never rained on earth. God watered the plants from the ground up. And as it began to rain harder, the man thought, this is what Noah is trying to tell us about. And he grabs his family and says, we have got to get to that ark. And I'm sure he wasn't the only family. And as they're trying to get to the ark, if you look in verse 11, it says, the fountains of the great deep burst forth. Not only was it raining from the sky, but water was gushing up out of the ground. And these people was running to the ark, trying to get to the ark. And you know what? I believe that God kept Noah from hearing their cries. Because any preacher, if we would have heard that, would have said, praise God, boys, open the door, they've come to be saved. But you know what? They could open the door, because the Bible says the Lord shut the door. And when the Lord shuts the door shut. Remember back in verse 3 of chapter 6, it said, my spirit will not always strive with man. You can have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords knock on your heart's door every time you come into a church. And if you continue to resist his calling, the Bible says, my spirit will not always strive with man. One day that knock you hear may go silent. God may not knock on your heart's door anymore to invite you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, we either say yes to Jesus Christ or no to Jesus Christ, don't we? You know, people tell me sometimes, why would God send someone to hell? He doesn't. We choose which way we go, don't we? If we say yes to Jesus Christ, we spend eternity with him. If we say no to Jesus Christ, we spend eternity in a place called hell. Guys, there's two destinations when it comes to eternity. One's heaven and one's hell. The saved ones are going to heaven. The lost ones are going to hell. And when the Lord shuts the door, he shuts the door. I want you just to bow your heads. Mark, I'm going to ask you and the musicians come forward, if you don't mind. The biggest gamblers in the world is not in Atlantic City or Vegas. They're not out on some cruise ship in international waters. They're not calling and placing bets with the bookies on the Super Bowl. They're not at the Dog Tracker. They're not at High Line. The biggest gamblers in the world is folks just like you and I. We'll sit in the church just like we're in today and have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords knock on your heart's door saying, come, open your door because I have the greatest gift in the world for you. Matter of fact, its benefits are out of this world. The biggest gamblers is the ones that say, Jesus, not today. We're rolling the dice that he will give us another opportunity to accept him as Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word this morning. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share this with this group of believers. And Lord, I pray if there's a lost one here today, Father. I pray if you're knocking on someone's heart here today, Lord, that they will take care of business today with you. Or Father, maybe everyone in this building is saved. I don't know their hearts, but you do. But Lord, maybe they got loved ones that are lost. Father, I pray that, Lord, they'll just come to the altar and just lay it on the altar. Pray for their lost loved ones today, Father. They'll come to know you before it's too late. And Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. And all God's people said, amen.